Celebrate and save at Ashley's Anniversary Sale. With Hot Buys, your choice of colors starting at just $3.99. Ashley Sleep Mattresses starting at $2.50. Plus, receive a free adjustable base with select mattress purchases. And shop top mattress brands like Stearns & Foster, Tempur-Pedic, Purple, and Beautyrest Black with 60-month special financing only at Ashley. Subject to credit approval, no minimum purchase required. Minimum monthly payment, down payment, tax, and delivery may be required. See store for details.
Old Man Winter here. If I had it my way, it would stay winter all year long. Short days, wind chill, black ice, and a good polar vortex. Oh, heaven! Wait, is it getting warm in here?
Your cold snap is over, Old Man Winter. Spring has arrived.
Spring.
Spring is here, which means it's the perfect time to get away in the Hyundai you've always wanted. Visit the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, where you can get great deals on all of our award-winning Hyundai models, like the tech-filled Tucson and Kona, as well as the spacious Palisade. Enjoy wherever you go with the peace of mind that comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of complimentary maintenance. But hurry in. These deals won't last. Add more joy to your journey at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Now get 0% APR or up to $1,500 bonus cash on the Hyundai Tucson. Now, during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Offers end soon. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
When something happens to your car, you might say, but what you really need to say is something that can actually help.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And just like that, State Farm is there to help you file your claim right on the State Farm mobile app. So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Hour number two of our radio program, Rockin' and Rollin'. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. We have the NCAA tournament underway. Earlier today, Duquesne upset BYU 71-67. Creighton to take down Akron 77-60. At Michigan State, with Tom Izzo dominating this time of the year, up against Mississippi State by a final score of 69-51. And we got a few games in play right now. 7 minutes to go in the first half. Morehead State up on Illinois in a 14-3 game, 27-23. UNC, early goings of the second half, 18-21 remaining. They're up by 10 against Wagner. And you have Arizona really pulling away from Long Beach State now. It's 82-60 as the Wildcats are 4 minutes away from advancing to the second round. Remember, last year as a two seed, they did lose to Mitch Henderson's Princeton Tigers, who were 15, were supposed to be the tourney this year, and then got upset in the first round of the Ivy League tournament. But this time of the year, we still talk a lot about football, and now joining us in studio is the former NFL tight end, now does a great job doing a bunch of media work in Chicago and Philadelphia, and that is Clay Harbor, kind enough to pay us a visit here in the New York City studios. Clay, always great to see you. Thanks so much for joining us. How are you?
I'm great, man. Appreciate you having me on, Zach, and you know, ready to talk some football. I know it's basketball season, March Madness, but to me, football season is year round. So always can talk ball.
So let me start you off with the Bears, because we've heard the comments from Jalen Johnson. We know how outspoken DJ Moore was this offseason, how they all wanted Justin Fields. Now Justin Fields gets traded to the Steelers, and we all know Caleb Williams is going to be the number one overall pick. Mm-hmm. How do you think Caleb needs to approach walking into that locker room, especially knowing this was a place that, yes, he's the number one pick, he's the savior of the franchise now, but a lot of the other guys wanted Justin Fields to continue in Chicago?
Yeah, I mean, we were just talking. Hey, DJ Moore made it abundantly clear and over again that he wanted Justin Fields, almost probably to a detriment to him. Because obviously at some point you know that there's going to be a change happening, and now this quarterback comes in knowing that you wanted someone else throwing him the ball. I don't think that'll be an issue. These guys realize that the NFL's a business. As a player, you want to go to bat for your teammates. And that was his teammate at the time, and I realized he's throwing his weight behind him as a Pro Bowl caliber player, as a star receiver. He likes Justin. He wanted to help him out as his teammate. But NFL players, we know it's a business, man. As much as you want to be, say you're a family, it's a business. Sometimes these guys are like mercenaries. You know, you get paid to the, sold to the highest bidder. But what Caleb needs to do is he just got to come in and he has to work. If I'm a guy, you know, I've had big-time tight ends come into tight end rooms. I've seen big time guys come into offenses. I've seen it done the right way, and I've seen it done the wrong way. And I've seen guys come in, they're a high draft pick, and they kind of think that something's going to be given to them, but it's not. You have to earn everything. You have to earn the team's respect, and especially as a quarterback, the way to do that is to come in, to be humble, to not have an ego, and to work. And like you alluded to, the Jalen Johnson comments, he doesn't want the Hollywood stuff is what he said. He's looking for Caleb Williams to come in and work and to be successful, but not to come in with that big ego because he's the number one pick.
So here's the tricky part, because I want my quarterback to be an alpha, but you also then need to be able to have a good relationship and the respect of your teammates. Now, you know there's a lot of older guys in the locker room. There's probably guys in that locker room that just say, I don't care what Caleb Williams does off the field. I just want a winner. I want someone solid at the quarterback position. So is that difficult to manage? Number one overall pick, big star, big ego, right, coming in. But I don't want you to kind of curl up into a ball and then not have a lot of persona because you are the alpha of the team now.
No, okay, Zach, I've played with the New England Patriots, Tom Brady. I've played with the New Orleans Saints, Drew Brees. I've played with Michael Vick. I've played with Matthew Stafford. Mm-hmm. And what those guys do, there's not some persona. They're not trying to – they are real guys, but they work. Tom Brady, I remember going to New England. I'm nervous, you know, what to expect. I walk into the meeting room. You know who's in the front row taking notes in his 16th year? Tom Brady. What's he taking notes on? He's been in the same offense for 16 years. He's in the front row. What's he drawing, stick figures? He knows this offense better than coordinators do. Okay, that's the kind of stuff you need to do. Drew Brees. I sign with the Saints, right? I go out with Drew Brees. I'm in New Orleans. I'm a backup tight end. I had a really strong OTAs. Drew invites me out to San Diego in the offseason. He flies me out first class, me and Kobe Fleener. If you remember him, tight end, was on the Saints as well. Puts us up in a 5-star hotel, pays first class both wow. ways, picks us up every morning at 6 a.m. just so we can go and throw with him for 4 days in San Diego. Paid for his training facility, paid for us to get massages. That is how you capture a team. Doing things like Tom Brady in the front row, taking notes early every day. Drew Brees, Friday's players out. 6 a.m. every day picking us up. And I've been with players that haven't done that. I'm not going to try to crap on somebody, but Blake Bortles didn't do things the right way. And he was a very talented guy. Could run, could throw, could do a ton of things. Wasn't the hardest worker. We wanted to go throw in L.A. He missed days when he had players out there to throw
really?
With him. Yes. So to me, you come in, you have that professional mentality. I'm going to be the best, but to be the best, I have to work the hardest and to prove myself. Nothing is given to me. This is day one in the NFL. Couldn't be more different than college football, especially as a quarterback. They're seeing coverages and stuff. So come in, work your tail off, as cliche as it sounds, and the players will pick up on that and respect you because of it.
Clay Harbor in with us in studio, former NFL tight end, does a lot of great media work right now. We know the Bears have been looking for their quarterback forever.
Yeah.
On a scale of 0 to 100, 0, no shot, 100%, this is going to work. Where are you at with Caleb Williams being as good as advertised?
0 to 100, I'm about, I'd say a 75%. I'm not, you know, it's obviously you're in college. And the Bear, like you said, the Bears need a quarterback. They're the only franchise to never have a quarterback throw for 4,000 yards or 30 touchdowns, either of them. 30 touchdowns, 4,000 yards, today's NFL.
Easy.
Like, that's not that hard. Back in the day, different league now, so that's crazy. But I haven't seen this guy take a snap in the NFL. He's made some exciting off-script plays, but can he sit in the offense and deliver the ball on time? So that's what I want to see him do. He holds the ball a little too long. Or we're saying the same thing about Justin Fields. He fumbles a lot, saying the same thing about Justin Fields. So for me, I need to see him doing the NFL game. If he comes and he works, he's obviously talented. He's 6 foot tall. He's a little short, 6 foot and a half, whatever he was at the pro day. So to me, I'm confident he'll do good, like a C+, you know, 75%. I see it. I hope it happens. I think he's coming in to a really good situation. Justin Fields is probably envious of the situation he came into with a roster teardown and then the Matt Nagy debacle. He's coming in throwing to DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. Cole Kmet, you know, he's got some playmakers there. DeAndre Swift. So he's got it set up. The Bears defense in the last 8 weeks was number one scoring defense in the league. So that's why I'm up at 75%. Even as a rookie, people got to realize it's a big jump. You go through your biggest jump from year one to year two.
Not everyone's C.J. Stroud.
Not everyone. And people, C.J. Stroud has really changed the game for people
anomaly.
When they look at it.
Yeah.
He's an anomaly.
It actually makes it tougher now for Caleb Williams. Because don't get me wrong, there's so much hype with Caleb Williams that I think some of the analysis now becomes fatigue with just talking about someone and we have to find different things. But with what Stroud did, this is what have you done lately. Yeah. And even though he was the second overall pick and Caleb's going to be one, Williams gets off to a slow start. People are going to say, you have a lot more in Chicago than what C.J. Stroud had in Houston. And those conversations, they do matter.
And I think that's fair because I think that's 100% true. You got Keenan Allen, who obviously is 32 years old, but you got to realize Keenan Allen
is the number two wide receiver for them.
He's number two wide receiver, but he had his best year last year. He was leading the league in receptions, I think second in yards before he got hurt at week 13. This guy's game, the guys that you see a fast decline are the guys that use their athleticism and explosiveness to win, okay? Why is Keenan Allen so good? It's his route running. It's his hands. It's his craftiness. And he's only getting better. And he's only getting better because he's getting smarter and he knows how to use it. He knows how to pressure defenses now. So he's going to keep improving. DJ Moore is only 26 years old.
Yeah.
He's still young. Cole Kmet's only 25 years old. DeAndre Swift is 25 years old. These are all young guys that you can grow with. The Bears' offensive line is actually going to be pretty solid this year if they stay healthy. I think they brought in some good pieces at center that they needed, and maybe they bring in a tackle at some point during the draft to back up Braxton Jones and Darnell Wright. But he's in a good position, and you said it, Zach. It's what happened with C.J. Stroud. People are going to say, hey, he did it with less. If this guy doesn't do it, he's not living up to those expectations.
Here's also the other good part about this conversation is Clay Harbor joins us right now in studio. It's a Zach Gelb show on CBS Sports Radio. The Bears also have another top 10 pick.
Yeah.
And they're in at 9. Now, it obviously matters who's available at 9 and how the 8 picks before it shake on out. But who are some players at 9 that you think will be in play for the Bears that could help on the offense side of the ball or the defense side of the ball for this new regime in Chicago?
Defensively, I really like Dallas Turner. I know he could be more of an outside linebacker type guy, but I think he could play edge in a 4-3. You know, he's a little light right now, but I mean, 4-4, 40, 40-inch vertical. The guy's explosive, 10 sacks at Alabama. He's playing against top-level competition. If you put him with Montez Sweat on each side, and that's their biggest need, is edge. You got to do something at edge. If you're not doing it in the free agency, you know, signing someone like Mike Dana or one of the, you know, second-tier guys that are still out there, Jadeveon Clowney's a guy I think they should look at. There's some free agents there still that you could still piece together a good room because you have Sweat. But Jared Verse as well. I mean, 4.58, but he's just athletic. He's fluid, over 10 sacks the last couple of years. I mean, Jared Verse is a really good player. You have to go edge.
At Albany, too, which is a crazy story with him.
Wow, I didn't even realize that. Yeah, but he's just
Norvell
a good player.
Found him. One of his assistants was watching, I guess they either played or somewhere with film.
In
they were
Albany.
Looking. They were watching film, and they were looking for another player, and they turned to the film. They're like, wait, this kid that was in the portal, we remember seeing him. We should go get him. And then Jared Verse at times is being projected as a top 5 pick, now anywhere between like 8 to 15 in this draft.
Wow. And then if you trade back, Latu, I don't know if I butchered your name and you're listening, I'm sorry. But I like him. He's not the most athletic guy, but he is smooth. And he is just got, like, watching him run through the drills, the combine, watching him at the Senior Bowl, I'm like, okay, this guy can play. And obviously, I think D tackles a position. They need a three technique. I don't really see a guy there that they could really pick unless they trade it down. But I think you invest more into the offensive side of the ball, get another weapon at wide receiver, or you go Joe Alt at tackle if he's there. Odds are he might not be. But like Romo Dunze, 1,640 yards. You watch him. I mean, he is just a smooth. He's fast. He ran that 4.45. He had a big combine, obviously, 6'3", 215. He ran a 4.03 20-yard shuttle. That just shows you this guy's quicks. And I love you're watching the combine. He's on the field after everybody's gone.
To get the drill right.
That's the guy I want, because that guy is going to continue to improve, because you can see he's willing to outwork people. And I think I don't know if Neighbors or Odunze or if one of those guys are there. I love both these receivers. I know this is such a deep receiver draft, and I could go to the second and third round and pick out guys I love from the Senior Bowls and just guys I've loved from, you know, watching the tape, anywhere from Ricky Pearsall to A.D. Mitchell, Ladd McConkey, Brian Thomas Jr. You know, I could keep going here, but those two receivers, I think you pair them with D.J. Moore and Keenan Allen, you have a top five receiver room.
Let me get back to the quarterback. So Williams goes one.
Yeah.
Let's say you're running the Commanders. Which quarterback are you taking with the second overall pick?
I'm probably taking Jaden Daniels. And I know there's that, you know, there's that argument there, obviously, between Drake May. I like Drake May, 6'4", 223 pounds, the big, big arm. But he had a down year. Like, he missed a lot of throws. And, like, watching him and, like, I've been taught a little bit of quarterback technique. His technique looks good. So I'm like, why is this guy missing throws? And when you see it, he just misses some throws technique. I'm like, maybe the guy just isn't that accurate, you know? And I think that's something that scares me a little. Drake May, I don't think he's Mitch Trubisky reincarnated like some people do. But I think he's got a lot to improve on. If he could sit somewhere, that'd be great. And I know they got Mariota over there in Washington. So maybe a guy come in and sit, but I don't see that happening. They're probably going to want him to play right away.
Yeah, it feels like we know Williams going to be one.
Yeah.
And then it does feel like it's going to be Daniels or May, 2-3, Commanders, Pats. You could flip-flop them.
Yeah.
Then the Cardinals at four become a fascinating conversation. Because I can make the case, go get Marvin Harrison Jr.,
yeah.
Go get Malik Nabers, whoever it is, so you can help out Kyler Murray, who doesn't have much around him, or you trade back and you have a team like the Vikings come up from four to jump the Giants and you get, what, three future first-round picks. So let's say a team like the Vikings or the Giants, they're looking for a quarterback. At that point, Vikings up to four, or if they don't do that, then the Giants at six. McCarthy, probably the guy that's going to be the pick from the way that this is mocked. What's your view on J.J. McCarthy right now as a prospect?
I actually really like J.J. McCarthy. And I know he didn't get all the reps as some people, but like I thought he was going to be smaller. He's 6'3", 220. Like, this guy at the combine, I mean, he looked bigger than what I thought he was. But when he had the opportunity, and I went back and watched the Ohio State game recently, this guy was making some tough throws.
Roman Wilson was a great throw.
My goodness, this guy's on the move. I know there's the games where he didn't even have to throw the ball and all that, but Harbaugh knows what he's doing. And it's just lip service when he's saying he really thinks that this is one of the best quarterbacks he's ever coached. And when a guy puts his stamp on you like that, there's something there. And watching him play, I play with a lot of quarterbacks. I already listed you some of these guys. I think J.J. McCarthy has a nice arm motion, throws a catchable ball. He can move. He's a smart guy. He can get the ball out. And you look at some of his numbers at the combine. The 4-2, 5-10-5, and the 6-8, 3-cone. To me, that's agility. Like, in the pocket, like, this guy can move. That's impressive for a wide receiver, those numbers. So there's a lot of things I like about McCarthy. I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up being the second-best quarterback in this draft.
Wow. So give me your rankings then. The big five quarterbacks that we talk about the most.
Yeah.
It's Williams, it's Daniels, it's May, it's McCarthy, and then Michael Penix Jr.
Penix.
How would you rank those five?
I go Williams, Daniels, McCarthy. I might go Penix over Drake May. I'm not sold on Drake May. I think Penix, I mean, watching him play is underappreciated. This guy can sling it. Another guy at the Senior Bowl. I'm watching him. I go, I didn't think his arm strength was that good. This guy can throw it, man. He can spin the ball, and he's a lefty. I play with Michael Vick. I know it takes some getting used to catch the ball from the lefty. But the guy can play. You know who else I like? Is Bo Nix. I know he's older than...
Do you like Bo Nix over Drake May?
I think it's a toss. I would say next year, if you were playing with one of these guys, Drake May or Bo Nix, I think Bo Nix would have the better year. You look at him, he was number one in the NCAA in adjusted completion percentage. Obviously, he throws a lot of checkdowns, but this guy's seen so many defenses. I think he's an NFL-ready type guy, and I even like Spencer Rattler. You know, he was pressured 40% of the time, 85% of the time in shotgun. He's only 6 foot. Ran a 4.9, but I think he's a second to third round guy that I think, you know, somebody could get, and then down the road could end up being a guy that could actually play. But to me, Drake May, going back and watching him, 10 picks this year. I'm like, I don't see the hype. I see the size. I see the arm. I see the release. I see he's got everything you need. But looking at him, he's missing a lot of guys in his hands. I'm not a big hands guy, but a quarterback, I think it does kind of matter. He had like some of the smallest hands like in the entire year of quarterbacks, like 9.1 inch hands. Those are small hands. So for a guy that's supposed to be holding on to the ball, I think that could be an issue too.
Let me ask you about the Steelers quarterback situation. It's wrapping up with Clay Harbor. Russell Wilson, and then you also have Justin Fields there. Yeah. As long as Russell Wilson is healthy, do you think he makes it to the end of the season without having Justin Fields usurp him as the quarterback?
I'm a little biased, so you're asking me. You know, I'm a Chicago guy. I was a big Fields supporter, you know, and even just before we get to that, I think that the Bears, they didn't have to trade Fields. Now you gave away Justin Fields. You don't have to coddle these guys like Caleb Williams. Oh, you don't want him. But look back at the Troy Aikmans and Steve Walsh, the Montanas and the Youngs. Like, there's Alex Smith, Pat Mahomes was drafted, Carson Wentz, Jalen Hurts. You don't give away Justin Fields for a conditional sixth round pick next year. To me, I mean, don't coddle these guys. Tell them, compete. The best player's going to play. We're drafting you, and I know there'd be a circus, whatever. I don't care. You're a football player. You compete and show me you're better, and the best player wins. The cream rises to the top. But when we come to Fields, he ended up getting traded for that sixth-round pick. I think Fields, to me, it makes sense that he plays. Okay, obviously, Tomlin's coming out and saying there's not a competition. If Fields comes into training camp and outplays Russell Wilson, do you think Mike Tomlin, one of the big advocates of competition, the best player is going to play, is not going to play Justin Fields?
If that's the case, then Russell Wilson's career is over, because he should be able, and I like Fields. I think Fields in the right situation could work. But at this stage of his career, Russell Wilson better win that competition.
He better, but here it makes more sense, because where's the future?
Fields has a higher ceiling.
Even if they're tied, this is 35 versus 25 here. Fields is an up-and-coming guy. If they're similar, you got to give it to Fields, just because this guy could actually be your franchise quarterback in the future. Is Russell Wilson going to be a franchise quarterback? No, he's a Band-Aid. Stopgap guy. And Fields could actually be the future. Fields actually had a higher QBR by 10 points last year than Russell Wilson. I think Fields wins this job. He's a competitor. He's more athletic. He can throw the ball further. I like Russell. I'm a big Russell fan. But after watching him the last couple years, it's not the same Russell Wilson we saw in Seattle.
All right, last thing I'll ask you as we wrap it up with Clay Harbor, who's been great with us in studio. About a month ago, someone asked me about the Eagles, and I said there's nothing the Eagles could do this offseason that would make me be confident about them, because I don't believe in Nick Sirianni, and he lost all the order in that locker room, and they don't respect him, and he's a doormat, and they walk all over him. Then they go out, and they get Huff from the Jets. They find a way to work it with Sweat. They still got to find a way to work it with Reddick. I think he's going to get traded. And they bring in Saquon Barkley. And I'm like, man, this NFC is not that good. And I'm starting to buy back in on Philadelphia. So it changes very quickly, folks. Where are you at with the Eagles right now?
I think they've done some good things. They just signed Paris Campbell today. And Devontae Parker, was that the?
Oh, yeah, they brought
and
him.
Parker.
So he now, stinks.
I think these are okay guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just need somebody that can catch the ball besides A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. I'm backing on him, too. Saquon, I think he got overpaid a little bit for what he's been doing. But this guy is a different breed of running back. And with that offensive line, even with Kelsey gone, I'm expecting big things. You know, I think Pickett as a backup was a good move, too, just in case you have to spend some time there with your backup, a guy that can get you some wins. And I think the biggest thing they did this offseason was bring in some coordinators. I think the coordinators last year were awful. And I think now you got some guys that actually know how to call offenses and know how to call defenses. I mean, Kellen Moore is a guy, when he was in Dallas, he was leading the league in points and in yards. And Vic Fangio is a guy that literally wrote the book on specific defenses. So having those two guys, those two generals, are going to help you a lot. And bringing back C.J. Gardner-Johnson, obviously you get a new linebacker. You know, there's some people saying that Devin White isn't what he used to be, but he's better than what they had.
Yeah, which
I will
anything.
Say that. So I think that the Eagles – I'll take them over the Cowboys. The Cowboys were sleeping.
Oh, the Cowboys.
Jerry Jones was taking a nap all in. Siesta.
Yeah. I skip Bayless and say all in. Pause, yeah. pause, comma, so, comma.
Eagles
my
to
ass.
The East. Eagles winning the East this year. You're hearing it here first.
He's a 9-year NFL veteran. You can follow him on Twitter at ClayHarbs82. He's Clay Harbor. Kind enough to join us today in studio. Clay, great to see you. Thank you.
No, appreciate you having me on.
All righty, coming on back, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Celebrate and save at Ashley's Anniversary Sale. With Hot Buys, your choice of colors starting at just $3.99. Ashley Sleep mattresses starting at $2.50. Plus, receive a free adjustable base with select mattress purchases. And shop top mattress brands like Stearns & Foster, Tempur-Pedic, Purple, and Beautyrest Black with 60-month special financing only at Ashley. Subject to credit approval, no minimum purchase required. Minimum monthly payment, down payment, tax, and delivery may be required. See store for details.
Shall I take your order, or do you need a minute?
Yes, I'll be ready. Just buying a car on Carvana.
What?
It's super convenient. I already got pre-qualified in 2 minutes. All I had to do was answer a few questions.
What? That's handy.
Yeah, now I'm customizing my down and monthly payments.
What? That's an exquisite deal.
And just like that, Carvana's delivering my car in a couple days.
What?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I'll have the burrito.
Visit Carvana.com to finance your next car.
Financing subject to credit approval. Delivery fees may apply.
Old Man Winter here. If I had it my way, it would stay winter all year long. Short days, wind chill, black ice, and a good polar vortex. Heaven! Wait, is it getting warm in here?
Your cold snap is over, Old Man Winter. Spring has arrived.
Spring.
Spring is here, which means it's the perfect time to get away in the Hyundai you've always wanted. Visit the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, where you can get great deals on all of our award-winning Hyundai models, like the tech-filled Tucson and Kona, as well as the spacious Palisade. Enjoy wherever you go with the peace of mind that comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of complimentary maintenance. But hurry in. These deals won't last. Add more joy to your journey at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Now get 0% APR or up to $1,500 bonus cash on the Hyundai Tucson. Now, during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Offers end soon. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at WesleyFinancialGroup.com. You know, it's funny how this works out with the Bears. For so many years, the most underrated wide receiver in football, like the one guy everyone says the most underrated wide receiver in football, was Keenan Allen. And another incredibly underrated wide receiver in football for a while was DJ Moore. Now, when you've been considered the most underrated wide receiver in football for a while, I don't think you're underrated anymore. And you have not only DJ Moore in that wide receiving room, but you also have Keenan Allen. So off of DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, used to being some of the more underrated wide receivers in football, now being in the wide receiver room, I'm going to give you five wide receivers right now in the sport that I still don't think get the shine and the credit that they're deserving of. Let me start off in Philadelphia. Everyone talks about A.J. Brown this, A.J. Brown that. Is A.J. Brown in a good mood today? Is A.J. Brown getting along with Jalen Hurts? We all know that A.J. Brown is on that top 10 wide receiving list. But then there's Devontae Smith, who maybe had one of the more remarkable college careers that I could remember. A guy won a Heisman Trophy, and when you win a Heisman Trophy, that's like the defining moment, right, of your college career. Devontae Smith also was the player that caught the touchdown on the walk-off up against Georgia, up against, Alabama-Georgia when Tua Tagovailoa replaced Jalen Hurts at halftime. That was Devontae Smith who caught the touchdown. So Devontae Smith, I think, won 2 championships at Alabama and won a Heisman and had a walk-off touchdown in a national championship game. And Devontae Smith has come into the league, 64 receptions, 916 yards. Then the next year, 95 receptions, 1,196 yards. And this past year, 81 receptions and over 1,000 yards, 1,066. I think everyone acknowledges that Devontae Smith is good, but I don't think he gets enough credit for what he's been able to do. This has been a guy that I've been a supporter of the last 2 years. And then in year number 3, he blossomed. I was always a fan of Nico Collins. I think Nico Collins had the ability to be a really good wide receiver. And look what happens. You get a competent quarterback, and then you turn into, from a statistical standpoint, a great wide receiver. Like, the first 2 years, he was fine. You know, 33 receptions, 37 receptions, 446 yards, 481 yards. Nothing to write home about. Like, you thought he could be like eventually maybe one day a number two wide receiver. But this past year, Nico Collins was dominant. 1,300 yards, 80 receptions, and 8 receiving touchdowns. Another player that's still underrated, Tyler Lockett. He is so underappreciated in Seattle. This guy in the last 5 years, 1,000 yards, 1,000 yards, 1,100 yards, another 1,000-yard receiving, had some injuries this past year, 79 receptions for 894 yards. And remember, that was at the downfall of Russell Wilson and then Geno Smith coming into Seattle, and you have a crowded wide receiver room with, as of last year, you know that DK Metcalf's been there for a few years, but you also have now Jaxon Smith-Njigba in that wide receiving room. The next guy, isn't it funny? You go from being overrated at one point to then being underrated. I think Amari Cooper is now underrated. At one point, he was considered overrated. But then he got traded to the Browns for basically a bag of footballs. And all this guy has done in Cleveland for 2 years has been at least an 1,100-yard wide receiver and gets you over 70 catches. In 2022, he had 78 receptions, 1,160 yards, and 9 touchdowns. Let me remind you, Deshaun Watson only played 6 games at the end of the season. Last year, he had like 4 quarterbacks playing because of all the injuries, and he had 72 receptions, 1,250 yards, and 5 touchdowns. That, though, is hilarious to me because when he came into the league, it was like, oh, he's not meeting the expectations. And he's been on, like, the Raiders, the Cowboys, and now the Browns. And now I think he's actually an underrated wide receiver in this league. And with Keenan Allen and DJ Moore no longer being considered the most underrated wide receiver in football, I think people talk about this guy as being a top 10 wide receiver, but I think he get even more credit. The most underrated wide receiver now in football is Scary Terry and Mr. Terry McLaurin. This dude has never had a quarterback. Never. First year in the league, 58 receptions, 919 yards, 7 touchdowns. Second year, 87 receptions, 1,118 yards, 4 touchdowns. Third year in the league, 77 receptions, 1,053 yards, and had 5 touchdowns. And the last 2 years, 77 receptions, 79 receptions, 1,191 yards, 5 touchdowns, and over 1,000 yards once again this year, and 4 touchdowns. We're looking at a span of a 5-year career so far in the NFL. 378 receptions, 5,283 yards, and 25 touchdowns. And when I ask you to name him who his quarterback was, you have a bunch of answers because there's been no consistent guy with the Commanders. Samter, who are some other wide receivers that are underrated in the NFL right now based off Keenan Allen and DJ Moore getting in the same wide receiver room? I've given you Devontae Smith, Nico Collins, Tyler Lockett, Amari Cooper, and Terry McLaurin.
So the one that stands out, the one that to me is the most underrated name.
Now, real quickly, don't give me the name yet. AFC or NFC?
NFC.
NFC wide receiver.
Yes.
Underrated. And is it Addison of the Vikings, or is it just not long enough of a sample size?
Not long enough of a sample size.
I know who it is.
Tell me.
Chris Olave?
He was my number two, but that was a very good guess. Chris Olave was my number two most underrated wide receiver.
Okay, give me the answers then.
Number one is a guy who's starting to blow up, and he's not going to be underrated for very much longer.
Mm-hmm.
It's Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yeah, it's a great one. I don't underrate him, but that's a great one.
People kind of look at him as being like, oh, he's a good receiver on a good team. No,
it's a great one.
This dude, 3 years in the league, 900 yards, 1,100 yards, 1,500 yards, 90 catches, 106 catches, 120 catches, 10 touchdowns last year, 6 and 5. The guy is an elite top 10, top 12 running wide receiver, maybe even higher. This guy is going to be one of the best, if not the best receiver in the league outside of Justin Jefferson. The guy is absolutely amazing.
I would still actually consider him underrated, and it's a sensational answer because when you think of the Lions, you think more so of Dan Campbell first. You think of Aiden Hutchinson as well. And offensively, don't get me wrong, St. Brown is probably the first player that you think of offensively on that team. But I wonder when people come out with these top 10 lists over the summer, that will tell us if he's underrated or overrated. He's not overrated, but if he's underrated, because I think of him as a really good wide receiver, but he's better than just a really good wide receiver. That's a great one.
Yeah, and you mentioned Olave. Everyone talks about Drake London, Garrett Wilson, Jameson Williams, Jahan Dotson, Christian Watson, George Pickens, Romeo Doubs, all from that same 2022 wide receiver class. Chris Olave, all he's done in his first 2 years, 72 catches, 1,000 yards, 87 catches, 1,100 yards in 2 years with no quarterback in New Orleans. Chris Olave is absolutely a beast, and he's on pace to maybe even be better than any of those receivers in that class that everyone talks about. And I love Garrett Wilson because when I was a Jets fan, he was a beast. And, you know, now I still like him because, you know, what he did. And
he is actually my favorite wide receiver from that 2022 draft class. Like, going in,
yeah,
I thought he was the best. I thought he was getting a little Justin Jefferson treatment going into that draft class where I'm like, wow, this guy's incredible, but the mock drafts just weren't reflecting, and he still went in the top 15 of the draft. Anyway,
I think he went 11, because Garrett Wilson went 10. I think Olave went right after
him. I think
you
had receivers
11.
Go 10, 11, 12, or something like that.
Well, no, Drake London went 7 or 8 to the Falcons.
He went 8 to the Falcons.
And then Wilson went 10 to the Jets, and then 11, I think, was Olave. And the last one I'll mention, you know, Brandon Cooks is a guy, but he's kind of on the downward of his career, who's been underrated for a long time.
A lot of concussions, unfortunately.
Christian
but
Kirk
he's good.
Got that big deal, but he's put up decent numbers. But the other guy I'm going to mention, he just got a big deal. But until he got the big deal, before he got franchised in Indy, Michael Pittman Jr. has been an absolute beast.
Always
in his few
fan.
Years. Right? He's one of those guys no one talks about until he got this
Should've
big contract.
Should have been a
first-round
pick.
He's had 2 years over 1,000 yards, 1 year at 925 yards, 2 years basically over 100 receptions. The guy's been an absolute beast, again, in a system where there hasn't been a quarterback that's been an elite-level quarterback.
By the way, you have an extra cup of coffee today?
No.
Oh, my God. You're speaking like 3,000 miles an hour.
Too fast?
No, you're just really energetic today.
Well,
very exuberant.
Well, because, listen, you want me to go quick. You don't want me to take up too much airtime, so I'm trying to get as much point in before, you cut me off and jump in.
I thought for a second we had to see how many cups of coffee you had, or maybe we had to drug test you during the break, honestly.
Listen, that's what that's
you're
what
making March, good points. I'm not saying your
that's
points
what March
are bad.
Madness does to us, baby. It's like a life high.
You were shot out of a cannon today.
Yeah, baby.
I know. I see you coming to work every day with that helmet on your cabeza because you bike to work. I was wondering if you just got shot out of a cannon right to the 345 Hudson Street Studios today.
But you know, I made a lot of money from Shohei's bookie.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah, I'm not wiring you any money if you end up getting into debt. I'll tell you that. You'd be SOL, alrighty? Alrighty, this is Zach Gilb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We will take a time out. We'll get to our favorite scandals off the Shohei Ohtani saga when we return. Update time first, though. Here's the ACK man, Rich Ackerman.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
If you're the cooking queen in your house like I am, let me drop a kitchen hack that's been a total game changer for me. Primal Kitchen. I'm always on the go juggling a million things like work deadlines and school pickups, so finding time to eat right is tough. Primal Kitchen makes it super easy to whip up meals that check all the right boxes, like honest ingredients I trust and delicious flavor. They have everything from unsweetened ketchup to barbecue sauce, avocado oil mayo you'll want to eat by the spoonful, and dressings that double as marinades. Genius, right?
If you want to make quick, simple meals you can feel good feeding yourself and your family, trust me, Primal Kitchen has you covered. You can find Primal Kitchen at Target, Walmart, or any of your local grocery stores, or you can save 20% off your entire online order with code PODCAST at checkout on PrimalKitchen.com.
When something happens to your car, you might say, but what you really need to say is something that can actually help.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And just like that, State Farm is there to help you file your claim right on the State Farm mobile app. So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Alrighty, the official real start of the NCAA tournament is today. Michigan State 69, Mississippi State 51. Winners Duquesne as an 11 upsets Mark Pope's BYU squad. 71-67, Creighton, a little bit of a close game in the first half. They pulled away in the second half, 77-60. Arizona dominates Long Beach State, 85-65. UNC dominates Wagner, 90-62. The two games in play right now, second half, 18:36 to go. Morehead State up 40-39 against Illinois. And then Oregon, who's never lost a first-round game under their head coach in Dana Altman, they are up. They just took the lead by 1 point over South Carolina, 23-22. You got Nevada and Drayden today, Colorado State, or Dayton today, sorry, Colorado State, Texas, Oakland, Kentucky, McNeese, Gonzaga. I'm rooting for the Zags in this one. Nothing against McNeese, but everyone's picking McNeese just because Will Wade. And you look at the schedule at some of the schools that McNeese has played, I've never even heard of some of these schools. College of Biblical Studies, Champion Christian, Laterno. I thought that was like an Italian dish or something like that. Mississippi University for Women. These are some of the schools that McNeese played this past year. So I know Will Wade's a very good coach, and if it wasn't the scandal and then LSU started to fall off a little bit, he wouldn't have got fired. But man, just when everyone's telling me McNeese, I'm like, I'll take Gonzaga, Markview. Iowa State, South Dakota State, still to come. St. Peter's in Tennessee, NC State, Texas Tech, Samford, Kansas, Drake, Washington State. That's the rest of the schedule today. But we did start the show with the Shohei Ohtani scandal. And I think Major League Baseball has to investigate. It doesn't appear like the interpreter or Ohtani gambled on baseball. But the big question now is, if that's true, was this Ohtani being a loyal friend paying off the debts of the interpreter? Or was there something else going on? Did the interpreter steal from Ohtani to pay the $1 million? And there's still like $4 or $5 million that I guess still needed to be paid off. Or was the interpreter being the fall guy for Shohei Ohtani? So without knowing really what's going on, I want to revisit our three favorite scandals in sports. My favorite scandal, and actually somewhat was involved in this, was the Manti Te'o catfishing scandal with Lene Kukua, who never actually existed. And remember, you had Manti Te'o's grandma pass away, and then like the next day, you also had the girlfriend that never existed passed away. But Deadspin was really big at the time, and they actually broke the story. And I'll never forget, my face is smack in the middle of the online version of the Deadspin article, because I was interviewing Manti Te'o at the Heisman, and I like talked to him for like 6-7 minutes about losing his girlfriend and how he was able to fight through that and still have this great year at Notre Dame. And I'll never forget, I was at a fraternity party, my fraternity, at Temple University. And I got a call from my buddy who did not go to Temple, one of my childhood friends. He's like, "You're in the Manti Te'o article." And I'm like, "What do you mean I'm in the Manti Te'o article?" I'm like, "I wasn't involved in this catfishing. I didn't do anything that was associated here." And on my phone, it didn't load the photo. And then I went on my laptop and I saw my enormous cabeza right smack in the middle of the Manti Te'o article. But that was wild. And I'll never forget that. The documentary just recently came out, and I was in the documentary where they were showing my quick interview with him at the Heisman. But that was the most bizarre scandal, because you are the star linebacker, not at like some small school. You're the star linebacker at Notre Dame. You're a Heisman Trophy finalist, and you got duped by a catfisher when you could have literally have slept with probably any woman on the campus of Notre Dame. And you went from this great, successful story that everyone had sympathy for to then just looking like a fool because you trusted someone that was pretending to be somebody else. So that was a scandal that I'll always remember when I look back at that. Samter, what's your scandal, by the way?
So I was deciding between a bunch of them. My third was Deflategate because that was really just fun to watch you guys squirm. You cheaters, you liars.
We ended up looking great, though, because and Goodell and Mike Kensel, a bunch of rats still to this day.
Yeah, I guess that's true. They're cheaters. Number two for me was Tiger Woods. Just all of Tiger Woods.
I thought he wasn't a Jet fan anymore, Stu, right?
It seems at the time, I was a Jet fan, and I enjoyed watching you guys squirm and struggle. Tiger Woods.
We won a Super Bowl 2 weeks later. We really squirmed and struggled, and then after Brady got suspended, they won another Super Bowl.
Yeah, but until that happened, it was still fun to watch.
Yeah, that's fine. The Jets also had a Spygate scandal, too.
Yeah, Tiger Woods was my number two scandal. All of that, the golf club to the face, the chipped tooth, the Perkins waitresses and all the sex addiction and everything like that. And then the comeback, that whole scandal was just absolutely incredible with Tiger Woods. But for me, the number one scandal is historic. It is the greatest scandal in the history of sports to me. It's Nancy Kerrigan and Tonya Harding. I mean, come on. Like, all these other scandals are, like, gambling or, like, cheating on your wife or, you know, bad things. This is literally some woman hired a hitman to break the kneecap of another woman so she can get into the Olympics. And then she got to the Olympics because of it, and they had to be teammates together. And then in her first skate, Tonya Harding's lace broke, and she's crying on the ice. It was the most incredible scandal ever. The arrests, everything that happened afterwards with Tonya Harding's career and her life. Then they made a movie that won Oscars because it was so good, and Margot Robbie. So that, to me, without a doubt, the best scandal of all time.
Stu, what do you got cooking?
I'll go with the Astro sign stealing scandal. I just think it was so big. You had multiple teams that are still not over. You know, Yankees, Dodgers, Red Sox. Buzzers, trash cans, guys getting suspended, coaches getting suspended. Like, it was really incredible.
You know, it is crazy looking back at that scandal. And I think as it's aged, like, I don't have any animosity from it anymore. And I think, like, a lot of Yankee fans are still a bunch of crybabies from that. But you've had A.J. Hinch return to baseball. Carlos Beltran got screwed out of the Mets managerial job, had it, and then they basically said, okay, we need you to resign, and how that whole thing did go down. Alex Cora has returned. But the GM, Jeff Luhnow, has anyone heard a peep? I think he's in, like, a different sport or something like that now. But it is crazy how everyone else has returned to the sport in some capacity, whether it's an analyst or it's a manager. And for Jeff Luhnow, I don't even know where the heck he is. The owner of a Mexican club, soccer team, I'm assuming this
club
is?
Club Cancun and Leganas of Spain.
Yeah, I had him on once, CBS Sports Radio, in the weekend overnights. I had him on. He did a great interview with us, and it became part of one of the biggest scandals ever. But it's wild. You would think that eventually he'd be able to come back to the sport. And everyone else has, but Jeff Luhnow. Jeff Luhnow has not.
And I think, honestly, similar to Deflategate, part of it lost its teeth because the Patriots won a title after Deflategate. The Astros won after, you know, Trashgate. So I think it all kind of...
Trashgate.
Whatever you want to call it.
What a name. Banging on the trash can. That was awesome.
That's what people call me all the time, Trashgate.
Well, that's not nice. I think you're a little bit better than trash.
A little bit. Thanks. Thanks, dude. All right. That's a backhanded compliment if I've ever heard it.
You're
a little bit better than trash.
Samter's my guy. I wouldn't call you trash.
You're a half-eaten taco.
Yeah. Well, come on back. We'll update you some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We get to a news brief next. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here. But where else? CBS Sports Radio.
Celebrate and save at Ashley's Anniversary Sale. With Hot Buys, your choice of colors starting at just $3.99. Ashley Sleep Mattresses starting at $2.50. Plus, receive a free adjustable base with select mattress purchases. And shop top mattress brands like Stearns & Foster, Tempur-Pedic, Purple, and Beautyrest Black with 60-month special financing only at Ashley. Subject to credit approval, no minimum purchase required. Minimum monthly payment, down payment, tax, and delivery may be required. See store for details.
Old Man Winter here. If I had it my way, it would stay winter all year long. Short days, wind chill, black ice, and a good polar vortex. Oh, heaven! Wait, is it getting warm in here?
Your cold snap is over, Old Man Winter. Spring has arrived.
Spring.
Spring is here, which means it's the perfect time to get away in the Hyundai you've always wanted. Visit the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, where you can get great deals on all of our award-winning Hyundai models, like the tech-filled Tucson and Kona, as well as the spacious Palisade. Enjoy wherever you go with the peace of mind that comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of complimentary maintenance. But hurry in. These deals won't last. Add more joy to your journey at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Now get 0% APR or up to $1,500 bonus cash on the Hyundai Tucson. Now, during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Offers end soon. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
When something happens to your car, you might say, but what you really need to say is something that can actually help.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And just like that, State Farm is there to help you file your claim right on the State Farm mobile app. So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.